Frank Kendall, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, hopes that message rings through loud and clear in the implementation guidance he signed this week for Better Buying Power 2.0, the latest chapter in DoD's attempt to improve the acquisition process.
There's a flavor that runs through 2.0 of here are the tools you need, and here's the way you should be thinking about the problems that you have to solve, but you have to solve them. You have to be professional and really understand what needs to be done.
Kendall says DoD is trying to correct one of the unexpected outcomes of the last version of Better Buying Power. He says too many acquisition folks in DoD interpreted the guidelines in the first edition of the effort as strict doctrine, or what Kendall calls the school solution. For example, the original document indicated a preference for more fixed-price contracts, so they tended to proliferate throughout the acquisition enterprise, whether they were appropriate for the job or not.
People have to know the right thing to do, and they have to have a system that supports them in doing it. And one of the policy changes in 2.0 is on contracting type. We had said in 1.0 that we want to encourage people to use more fixed-price incentive fee type. That was good guidance. But there's a tendency in our system to sort of say, okay, that's what they want us to do, so we'll all, that's all we'll do now, because that's going to get whatever we want to do approved. And so we've modified that. You know, now it says use the right contract type for the job, which means there's a burden on our professionals to figure out what that is. And you know, we're going to give them guidance. You know, there is guidance already, but we're going to give them some more guidance, make sure it's clear to them. But we kept in, you know, the increased use of fixed price incentive for some types of things like early production lots, where it particularly is a useful a tool. There are a few other areas, too.
Those contract type decisions fall under the banner of incentivizing productivity in the defense industry. Among other steps Kendall is directing in that area, when it comes to best value competitions, DoD components are being told to clearly communicate with industry what value actually means for a given contract. That includes giving objective information about how much more the government is willing to pay for better performance. The memo also makes clear that acquisition managers should shy away from using lowest cost technically acceptable competitions in situations where the government can't objectively lay out the minimum standards it's willing to accept. And it points out that's often the case in service contracts. And it directs the implementation of a superior supplier program to publicly recognize contractors with good track records and offer them more favorable contract terms. The Navy will run a pilot program this year. If it's successful, it'll be expanded to the rest of DoD in 2014. But Kendall says the most significant change in the new edition of Better Buying Power is its emphasis on the acquisition workforce. He says the initiative is mostly focused on improving the skills of that workforce, even as its size stays flat, or maybe even declines.
I can't promise you that it's going to stay there if we take a very large cut. And I can't promise you it won't be trimmed a little bit if we take a more modest cut. We grew the workforce, I think about 13,000 over the last few years, a combination of insourcing and DoD funding increases in the workforce. But my focus, I think, for the next few years is going to be on improving the quality of the people that we have, improving their capabilities, you know, their training, their education. We brought a lot of junior people in that need to be developed and need to get opportunities to get experience and get training. So we need to focus on that. We've got a bathtub, essentially, in demographics. So we've got a lot of older people who are going to be leaving the workforce and retiring, our age probably. And we need to make sure that those people's knowledge is retained as much as possible as they go out the door. So all the services and components and I are working on this together.
But Kendall says the size of the workforce does need to be at least somewhat stable.
Yeah, there have been some pretty big swings, as you say. There was a philosophy, I think in the 90s more, of kind of, you know, government didn't need to have all this expertise, just give the money to industry and they'll do fine. I don't think that worked out all that well. I think there's a very pressing need for high-quality people in government if we're going to do an effective job of acquisition. That's why I'm emphasizing it so much. And that's true for technical management, program management, engineering, contracts, you know, lifecycle support, testing, all those disciplines.
Kendall says he also wants acquisition professionals outside the Pentagon to feel more empowered to exercise judgment, since that's where the vast majority of acquisition decisions are actually made. He says he's a firm believer in the chain of command that runs from DoD's component acquisition executives to program executive officers and program managers.
One of the things I noticed when I came back to government about 3 years ago was that the OSD staff seemed to be doing an awful lot more supervising of that chain of command than I was comfortable with. So we've and this has been a cultural change too for the organization, and we've had to take a number of steps to try to reinforce the importance of the chain of command And that's not just the responsibility and the opportunity to do make the decisions they should be making. It's also accountability for those decisions as well. One of the first steps I took when I came back in the government was to start putting the names of the PM, the PEO, and the SAE on every acquisition decision memorandum. It's to document that they brought that plan in and said, I can execute this plan. And so there's a permanent record that they have come forward and asked for approval to execute that plan.
This week's memo includes several steps designed to reduce the amount of time and paperwork managers spend briefing DoD leaders and getting approval for various phases of their programs. While much of better buying power is focused on incentivizing industry to deliver better outcomes without more money, Kendall says DoD likewise needs to do a better job of incentivizing the government workforce to make every dollar count.
We sometimes use a phrase in the department about the culture of savings. I think that's not a bad phrase to use, but the idea is that the money has value and you have to be very careful how you spend the money, particularly in the current climate. The system that we have says that. It always has said that we're supposed to spend the money well, but the incentives that have been built in tend to not do that. You know, obligation rates is a key example of that, where we punish people effectively for not spending their money. That's not how you negotiate a good contract, okay? And that should not be the metric. If somebody can return money to the department or buy additional product in their own program, that's a good thing. Savings are a good thing.
As a way to hammer that point home, every acquisition manager will have cost control considered as part of his or her performance evaluation by the end of this calendar year. Over the longer term, Kendall says his office is about to begin an effort that will hopefully make the DoD acquisition process easier for government and industry program managers to navigate. He says it'll take some time to prepare, but in about a year, he hopes to be ready to send Congress a legislative proposal to eliminate some of the complications and bottlenecks that have been added to the process over the past several decades.
I would like to simplify the legislation. Separate from 2.0, I'm trying to get an initiative started, which will work with the Hill, to take all the body of law that's been built up since Goldwater Nichols in 1986 to sort of provide guidance, if you will, for defense acquisition management so that we have a simpler, more coherent body of law. Right now, when I look through the new draft of 5002, which is our directive on how we do acquisition, it's a maze that a program manager has to work his way through to figure out all the things that apply to him that he has to comply with. We can do better than that. I think we can simplify things quite a bit.
Kendall says he thinks such an effort would get widespread support on Capitol Hill and make it easier for the defense acquisition workforce to get better value for defense dollars. He says that workforce is highly dedicated, but also highly challenged at the moment. Managers across the DoD workforce are scrambling to figure out how to make their programs work under sequestration. And those who are civilians are about to have their pay cut by 20% because of impending furloughs.
We're not treating our workforce very well. Now, the reason for sequestration is, and for the furloughs, is necessity, largely. You know, we have a mission that everybody, I think, who works for the government appreciates, which is that and right now we're at war. We're supporting combat operations. We're working on a reprogramming to try to relieve some of the shortfalls we still have in operations and maintenance, which is one of the major reasons to do furloughs as a source of funding. I don't know what we're going to do ultimately, okay? We've reduced it. We were able to reduce it from the original, I think it was 22 days, to no more than 14. We're still trying to figure out exactly how much we're going to have to do and how we're going to do it. So I can't say more than that at this point. Okay, it is a tough time for the workforce. I sent out a note a couple of weeks ago to the workforce. A GAO put out a report that said that there were some indications that we're doing a better job in acquisition, basically. Some of our weapon systems cost overruns were looking better. And I congratulated the workforce for that. And I said, I realize that, you know, in this environment, we're asking a lot of you, but remember that you're doing it for the warfighters and the taxpayers. And I think our people will come through. You know, they will do what they have to do. I just don't like putting them in this position.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.